Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
See, what was your worst year in school? You know, personally, just, you know, school. What was the hardest emotional year for you in your academics?
Probably, I never...
You didn't have any bad ones. Good.
Not academically. Not that I remember. Like, I don't know, 7th or 8th grade maybe, freshman year.
Violetta, what was your hardest year?
4th grade. I almost failed 4th grade.
Yeah, but I'm not talking about, although these things are usually tied together, I'm guessing, but I mean just like...
You're just talking about teenage awkwardness.
The boys and the
child,
girls yeah. And yeah, your body and kids and all of that. So 7th grade maybe. 7th for me, I would say for sure.
Yeah. I loved middle school.
I was equally awkward all 12 years.
I was just thinking, I never got out of jail anyway.
Right. Never,
so
never.
It actually didn't help.
Right.
There's a lady that is in town today, and then she's coming back on October 28th, Sunday. She's going to be in Hinsdale, and she's going to give a talk. Her parenting website is called Michelle in the Middle, and her name is Michelle Ickard, and she's the author of Middle School Makeover. If you're an educator or a parent of a middle schooler, you may know her work. I've actually seen videos where she's given talks, and she's really good. She's in town, but it's a show, if you will, a talk that's not open to the public, but the October 28th one will be. She's in our studio right now. Michelle, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
What was your most awkward year?
For sure, 7th, although, as you've mentioned, it was a long stretch for me. It was longer than just 7th grade.
And the promotional material, you post a picture of you in 6th grade that
yes.
I'm now holding up to the microphone. Would you care to describe this to the jury?
I'd love to. So, I'm wearing what I thought would be a really super cool outfit. I switched from a public school to a private school in 6th grade. And my only notion of private school came from the television show Silver Spoons. And so I had this idea that in order to go to this fancy new school, I should dress like a business person. So in that school photo, I'm wearing a bow tie and a button-down shirt with puffy sleeves and purple polyester pants, and my mom cut my hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not good.
No haircut from the 70s is a good idea in the aughts and the teens, but and there you are with that hair.
There I am.
It's the equivalent of what my 7th grade picture looked like, only you're a girl and I'm a boy.
Only people thought I was a boy.
Well, you have great big glasses.
Yeah, I forgot about that part. Yeah. And giant glasses.
So why do you post this picture?
I think it's so important for parents, first of all, to remember what it felt like to be in middle school. Those memories for me were raw for a long time, and I didn't really want to revisit them. But that picture helps me remember how important peers are in middle school, and the stuff that they say to you or about you can last a really long time. And the other side of it is that I think it's important to be able to laugh at ourselves eventually.
It's funny because I won't dwell on this picture anymore, but to say this, I think that when I've gone back and looked at the pictures of me in 7th, 8th grade, high school, I remember those outfits too, now that you mention it. I remember that shirt. I remember that shirt fondly, the yellow and brown, Charlie Brown kind of shirt I had, which I just thought looked so, it was my favorite shirt. I wanted to be remembered in that shirt. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And then you look back and you just think maybe you see the clothes, but you really remember that person who really didn't know.
Right.
So what do you do when you go talk?
So my sort of goal is to help parents help kids through that highly charged emotional time. It tends to be a time when kids retreat into themselves. They start to experiment with their own identity, as we're talking about with clothing, but in lots of other ways. And parents don't particularly know how to guide their kids through that because they're often met with, don't ask me any questions, don't bother me.
Have things changed over the years, or is it still the same parent-child dynamic?
The dynamic remains the same. Some of the tools that are entering the landscape are different. So whereas you and I, if someone made fun of our shirt, we could go home and have a little bit of refuge from that. That doesn't really happen anymore.
So would you say it's harder to be in a 7th grader now?
I sort of am reluctant to say that because I think it's really hard no matter what, but I do think that social media makes it a little bit harder. And I'm not someone who says, don't let your kids on social media. I just think we need to remember that kids don't ever get a break from this.
Can a parent say something to alleviate that?
the best thing a parent can do is not make a judgment. So kids are judged, as we've discussed, all day long by their peers. When they come home and they're upset, when a parent makes a judgment, then the kid just feels like that's one more person piling onto them. So actually the best thing that a parent can do that will alleviate it is to have empathy and just say, you know, man, that sounds really hard.
Well, what parent doesn't do that? No? That doesn't come natural?
A majority of parents don't naturally do that.
Really? What do
You'd be surprised.
What do they do?
So what a parent might say is, well, that's not a big deal. Don't let those things bother you.
Okay, I get
that. In the long run, this isn't going to matter.
Yeah.
You know, instead of just saying, oh, that's really terrible, and sitting with them in that pain for a minute, that's validating.
What does the parent do with the temptation to try and fix the situation?
That's such a great question, because we really long to fix these things for our kids. So many parents want to call the school counselor or call the parent of the other kid or tell their kid what to do. Well, here's what you do. Tomorrow when you go in, you march right up to that kid and you say, it's none of your business what I wear. None of those things work. What kids this age are learning to do is problem solve for themselves. So we really need to refrain from the urge to fix things and instead model what it looks like to be a good listener and let our kids brainstorm their own solutions.
Mm. I was in an event last Tuesday night with a company in Evanston here called Yellow Brick, and they work with emerging adults, teenagers, young 20s that are having problems. Somebody brought up the idea of helicopter parents, and they said, but now it's bulldozer parents. A helicopter hovers over and tries to fix, I was told, but the bulldozer parent is the one that they get in there and clear the landscape for their kids so it's smooth sailing. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I've heard this, yes, and I think you're exactly right. It's a new trend, and it comes from a place that is well-intended, but we've had the right and the ability to earn our wisdom, so we know the right answers and we know the right things to do, but kids deserve the same time to figure things out on their own. They really need to learn and earn their own wisdom.
Why are parents feeling their kids so much these days? My parents let me have a bad day.
Same. I don't know. There's a tremendous amount of guilt. I imagine a lot of it comes from the media. So they're watching news stories about kids who are abducted, and they say, oh my gosh, this is a 24-hour news cycle. I'm hearing about this child all the time. And if I'm not hovering over my kid, making sure they are perfectly safe all the time, something bad will happen.
I thought you were going to say the guilt is born on two-parent incomes. More so than my parents' generation.
Yes. Well, that could be too. Although, you know, my mom stayed home for part of my childhood and she still wasn't particularly involved. It was like, come back when I holler down the street for you.
Yeah. So then talk me through some of the ideas. I mean, okay, so let kids make their own mistakes. But really? I mean, should we intervene sometimes? Do you have any rules of thumb?
If a child is being, for example, bullied and they are a consistent target, then absolutely parents and schools should get involved and, you know, intervene and separate kids, whatever they can do, offer counseling, all of that stuff. But parents are quick now to say, my kid was bullied when someone was mean to their kid one time, or someone's just a jerk. So I think you want to look at emerging patterns before you get involved. And the other thing I suggest to parents is ask your kid, what would you like me to do here? Because sometimes parents just leap without getting the kid involved, and they're a big part of this.
Well, I'm glad you brought up that bullying thing.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of what you deal with, or is that a lot of what parents are dealing with? Not just the, you know, trauma of being 12, but the trauma of an 11-year-old picking on your 11-year-old.
That's right, yeah. And because it's now visible and because it can be documented, because much of it is done online,
yeah,
then parents have evidence, and so they're more likely to want to help, and I completely understand that. But some parents are really quick to react and protect their kid, and in fact, that doesn't protect them.
So sometimes you just be empathetic, you sit back and hope your child's going to work it out?
That's right. You talk to them, you listen to them, you ask them questions about their day, you give them space and time, and you offer support.
I wonder if parents would marvel at the fact that, in fact, these problems do go away or the child does resolve them.
It's funny that you say that, and I'm sort of chuckling because this isn't bullying, but one of the questions I get asked every time I give a talk is, how do I get my kid to start wearing deodorant? Parents worry about hygiene. It's one of the top five worries in middle school. And this is one of those things that goes away. right? Like every adult we know, most adults we know end up wearing deodorant. So it's a problem that solves itself. But parents spin their wheels worrying about it so much. And there are lots of other problems like that in middle school where we do more harm by getting involved.
So we should let them wear their hair the way they want?
Yes.
What about clothes?
Yeah, I think even if it's a school dress code violation, and there's a lot of controversy around school dress codes and what they say to girls about their bodies and what they say to boys and that kind of stuff. But even if my child were adamant about wearing something that violated a dress code, I would say, okay, I'm telling you it violates dress code, but you're going to have to now wear it because you insist and see what happens deal with the consequences.
Really? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because then they would go and then there would be consequences. Sometimes they don't believe parents about consequences until it happens.
You're talking about ideas for middle schoolers, and I'm just recollecting now at this event I was at last Tuesday. It was the same sort of thing, only instead of dress code violations, they were talking about the consequences of not doing your homework and studying. And their attitude generally, I don't mean to overstate it here, was let the kid flunk a test or two. Let him get that C minus and then see how they like it. And in fact, have a conversation with them. Why is or isn't a grade important to you? And if you don't care that you're about to flunk a class, let's talk about that rather than my yelling at you about flunking the class.
I completely agree with that. Middle school is actually the perfect time to let your kid figure out grades because it's not going to go on their college transcript. But it's a good time to learn to fail, and it's a good time to learn to pick yourself back up again, or how to email a teacher, or any of the things you can do for personal accountability.
Michelle Ickard, Publishers Weekly, recognized her book Middle School Makeover, Improving the Way You and Your Child Experience the Middle School Years, as an outstanding book in its genre. She's going to be in Hinsdale October 28th. That's a couple of Sundays away. And I guess that's open to the public, huh? Folks can come to that?
Folks should go on my website and look at information for the Right in the Middle Mother-Daughter Conference. It's for girls and their moms.
Are we speaking more about girls when you and I are having this conversation, or is everything you and I just said you think pertinent to both?
Everything that we've said so far other than the conference is pertinent to both.
But this is for mothers and daughters or just moms?
This is for mothers, and they bring their daughters, and it's really to help them stay on the same page because girls and their moms hit some rough waters in middle school.
The 7th grade girls will go with their moms to this thing?
It's funny. They all come in with some eye rolls. And why did you bring me? But it's 3 hours long, and by the end of it, I see them stroking their mom's hair. Some of them are climbing into their mom's lap. It's beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. I want to cry. Well done. Okay, so the website one more time.
I've got michelleinthemiddle.com, and if they click on the conference tab, they'll see it.
You may have seen her on the Today Show or read her in the Chicago Tribune, Time, People Magazine, Christian Science Monitor, Washington Post, et cetera, et cetera. Well done already. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
Coming in. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. Thanks.